We do begin with a light in the first part of the eighth chapter. We have here a light of the lampstand and a leva for the Levites. And that is the message here. We're still part of the cleansing operation in preparation for the wilderness march. They had to be clean, those that were going to follow God and serve God. And it would seem at first that this lampstand's out of place. It belongs back in Exodus, someone would say, where we had the instructions for the tabernacle. But now let's look at it, and I'm reading now, chapter 8, verse 1 of Numbers. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, When thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the lampstand. And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the lampstand, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this work of the lampstand was of beaten gold, under the shaft thereof, under the flowers thereof, was beaten work, according unto the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses. So he made the lampstand. Now when we look at this very carefully, we find it's really not out of place at all. The lampstand is described again for us here. It was the most beautiful article of furniture that was in the tabernacle, of the seven articles of furniture. We're told here it was made of beaten gold, and it was molded, and I ought not to say molded, because actually this was the work of an artisan of shaping it into the form of branches of almonds, and a great almond blossom at the top held the lamps. And it is the most perfect picture of Christ that we have in the tabernacle. The lights up on top represent the Holy Spirit, and the lights reveal the beauty of Christ and the beauty of the lampstand. And the lampstand speaks of Christ, and Christ upholds the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit into the world, and the Spirit of God takes the things of Christ and shows them unto us. Now, if you'll notice, we saw last time that the princess brought gifts to God, and it comes between the gifts of the princess and the cleansing of the Levites. In other words, everything must be done in the light of the cross. Everything must be done in the light of the Word of God. We're told that at the very beginning of the church, there were four marks of the visible church. I have a little book entitled The Spiritual Fingerprints of the Visible Church, and it's Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in prayers, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread. Now, I've got them a little out of order, but I have all four of them there. These are the fingerprints of the visible church. And the church has to walk in the light of this. Here is where the church gets its instructions. It's from the Word of God, not from a book of church order or some other place. Now, the lampstand is the light. The Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and He's revealed in the Word of God. And everything must be done in the light of His presence, and the only place in the world you're going to find out about Him is in the Word of God. Now, beginning at verse 5 and through verse 26, which is the rest of the chapter, you have the cleansing of the Levites, the light of the lampstand, and the laver for the Levites. And the Levites came to the laver for cleansing. That's where they came. They had already been to the brazen altar, which speaks of the cross of Christ. Speaks of how God keeps His servants clean. Now, will you notice it? And I'll begin reading here at verse 5. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. And friends, if God's going to use you, He'll have to clean you. He'll have to cleanse you. And He has His own way of doing it. And we're told here, how were the Levites cleansed? Here's what we're told. Thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them. Number one, sprinkle water of purifying upon them. That was done at the laver. Two, and let them shave all their flesh. And 3, let them wash their clothes and so make themselves clean. 4, then let them take a young bullock with his meal offering, even fine flour with oil, and another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering. Now all this is important, and all of this has a spiritual message for us. The Levites are cleansed. Now they have to be cleansed for service. You remember what God had said about the tribe of Levi? That is the son of Jacob that came from the tribe of Levi. You went way back to Genesis 49:5, where old Jacob spoke to this boy at that time. He says, instruments of cruelty are in thy habitations. They needed to be cleansed, by the way. And now the cleansing of the Levites is at the laver. And actually, the important thing today for the child of God is not how you walk, but where you walk. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, the light and the laver went together here. When you walk in the light, you can see that there's imperfection in your life. And then you go to the laver to remove that. And that's when we confess our sins. Now notice these 4 steps that are given here for cleansing. The first one, sprinkle water. You remember Christ washed the disciples' feet? And he told Simon Peter when he drew his feet up and under him, he said, if I wash you not, you'll have no fellowship with me. You have no part with me, which means fellowship. And John explains that over in 1 John. If we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Yes, but when I walk in the light, I see spots. I see things that are wrong in my life. All right, what are we to do then? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ will just keep on cleansing us from all sin. That's when we confess it. And then when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is important, friends. If you are to serve God, you must confess your sins. And this is for believers. The laver is the place for the believer, the saint of God. The brazen altar is the place for the sinner to come to God. Now here, the second thing he's to do is to take a sharp razor, and he was to shave himself. Now the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it moves right in, divides soul and spirit, bone and marrow. The word of God can dig down into your life and find things wrong that you didn't know were wrong. And that's again why he says in 1 John, if we walk in the light as he's in the light. You need that sharp razor, you see. You don't think there's a spot on you? Then get out the razor and start using the Word of God. It's a sharp razor. It's light also. Now, we are told something else. The third thing, he was to wash his garments. Now, garments in Scripture speak largely of the habits of life. In fact, garments call habits. There's a riding habit and a walking habit, and a baby has a crawling habit. And these are garments that the human race wears, and the habits. Well, we have certain habits today, and we need to wash our garments. Many of us need to get rid of some of the habits today that's hurting our testimony, and it will hurt our testimony. Now, there's a fourth thing that he was to do. He was to take a meal offering, and he was to take a bullock for a burnt offering, and he's to take another young bullock for a sin offering. Now, these offerings we've already seen speak of Christ. And the burnt offering speaks of who he is. The peace offering speaks of the fact he made peace by the blood of his cross. And the meal offering speaks of the fact of who he is, how wonderful he is. And the sin offering speaks of what he's done for us. In other words, all of this cleansing, all of this that's done, is done in the light of the person and work of Christ. He did all of this for us, and he did it in order that we might serve him. Now notice verses 9 through 11. Thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation. Thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord. And the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. Now, friends, let's understand this very clearly. Oh, you can sing a solo, you can preach a sermon, you can teach a Sunday school class, you can be an officer in the church, but you're not effective. I'll tell you right now, I don't know who you are, but you are not effective until you walk in the light of the Word of God, until you're cleansed, until you have been to Him for cleansing. You see yourself in the light of the Word of God, you know you come short. And you go and make confession of your sin, and you know He forgives you, and He cleanses you. And you use that sharp razor. And I tell you, it'll dig down in the life and take off that which offends today. And then we need to watch our habits if we're going to be used of God. Many a man has let a bad habit ruin his testimony and actually put him out of the Lord's service. I know many men that have been put out because of a bad habit. And then all of this rests upon the person and work of Christ, and we need to recognize that all of this, friends, is done in a very definite way for the service of the Levites. They're to serve. Now we come here to something else we've called attention to before, but we must call attention to it again. It says, verse 14, "Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine." And verse 19, "And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons." And you remember in our Lord's high priestly prayer, He said concerning you and me as believers, He said, "They were thine, but you gave them me." And the Lord, when He redeemed us, and He redeemed us by the blood of Christ, He paid a price, and now He's given us as a gift back to the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to Him. Now, service to Him, friends, does not rest upon rules and regulations and law. That's not the way you serve the Lord Jesus. You serve Him now because you love Him. You're in a new relationship to Him. You've been joined to Him. You're part of Him. And what a thrill it is now to know you're serving Him. And you're not following little rules and regulations. You've been brought to a high place, and you want to please Him. How wonderful this is. Now again, verse 24, I read this and call attention to something we think is rather significant, and I do not want to insist on anything here. "This is it that belongeth unto the Levites. From 20 and 5 years old and upward, they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation." Now, at 25 years of age, the Levites were permitted to serve in the tabernacle. But way back in the fourth chapter here, and of course that's not too far back, we find out that it was at 30 years of age that they actually entered into the service. It says in verse 30, chapter 4, "From 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, shalt thou number them, everyone that entereth into the service to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation." Now, this was for the priests. If a man was entering into a priestly work, it was from 30 to 50. And here it's 25 if he was just serving around in the tabernacle, putting it up, taking it down, any kind of service. But you will recall way back in the first chapter, verse 3, if it was for soldier service, it was 20 years of age. And then that raises the question, what is the age of accountability? Now, will you follow me very carefully right at this point, and it may be something that will startle you. Over in the 14th chapter, verse 29, I read, "God said to them, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me." Now, those that were 20 years old and upward had reached the age of accountability, and God held them responsible And when they murmured and refused to go in at Kadesh Barnea, God said, you'll die in the wilderness. What about the boy, 19 years old? God let him enter the land. What is the age of accountability? I don't want to insist on this, but I think it's lots older than you and I think it is today. I'm of the opinion that it's much older than we think it is. We think maybe a little child is responsible. I don't think so. Now, the little child can accept the Lord. In fact, there are many on record that at 4 years of age accepted the Lord. But the thing is, the age of accountability must be somewhere later than that. And I'm of the opinion it'd be different for different people. God made it different for the different service he had for himself. Soldier, 20 years. 25, if he was just to work around the tabernacle, if it was priestly service, was 30 years of age. So what age is it? Well, it'll be different, I think, from different people. And that's the reason that we ought to try to get boys and girls to the Lord as quickly as we can. That is important, by the way.